The pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, very very famous pasuk, Perek Yedaled, Perek Yotes pasuk Yedaled, Lo Sakal Acheres, you shouldn't curse a deaf person, of Lifnei Iver, Lo Sitei Michshol, you shouldn't place a stumbling block for the blind person, V'Yareisa Mei Lokecha Ani Hashem, and you should be fearful of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Rashi very famously mentions the fact that the pasuk is not understood by Torah Shebaal Peh to be just literal. Rather, lifnei suma bedavar, not just literally blind, but even someone who's blind in a certain matter, right? Lo sitein eitza she'ena hugenislo. I always mention, you know, the reason that people feel so at the mercy, and there's so much chash, maybe because it really deserves to be, of going to a car mechanic or different kind of things, is because most of us know so little about what's going on. We're mamash suma bedavar, so we're totally at the whim and the mercy of the person that we're going to. There are many areas of life, and usually it varies from person to person. Some people are more suma in investments, other people are more suma in the car, and sometimes people are suma in everything. So when they're figuratively suma in a something, and they come to you, and you're the pikech, meaning you have an expertise, you know what you're doing in that thing, you have an obligation to give him appropriate advice. Now you'll tell me, take an example, let's say like stocks. The whole thing is by definition very speculative. How can anyone be expected to be... Right, you'll tell me that you're going to not only sue your broker for giving you bad advice on when to sell AOL, you're going to tell him that he's over on Lifnei Iver? I mean, it's hard to imagine. The answer is, of course not. The person has to do their best to give you advice with integrity. But what is being precluded and what would be prohibited is what the Rashi continues, Al Tomar Mechor Sadcha B'Kach L'Cha Chamor. You're going to tell him you got to get out of real estate, the market's about to plunge. Liquefy your assets, sell the property, put it into the donkey, and then when the real estate market stabilizes, you'll be able to, you know, buy back, you know, your same thing. And the whole time, but rather, the whole thing's a scam, because you're planning on then being able to buy that property, which would otherwise not be on the market. So that is considered an Isser da'araisa of Lifnei Iver, of giving someone a tzara. If you may be familiar, unfortunately, one of the major scandals in Washington this today has to do with a frum lobbyist, thank you. And one of the many things that apparently he did in violation, which was perhaps the most chutzpahdik, is that he lobbied the state of Texas to take away the gaming rights of a particular Indian tribe in Texas. Meanwhile, as he was finishing that successfully, he was offering his services at the price of $100,000 a month to the Indian tribe to get the services, to get the rights back. So that might even be worse. But at least, I mean, that's like an extreme perversion of even Lifnei Iver. I mean, that's beyond anything that's, I mean, the chutzpah is unimaginable.
If you believe.
Right. Well, if you believe all the tapes and the emails that they have in his name, yes. I mean, his mama, she's dead to rights, apparently. So that's like, it's just astounding. So there he is. He's someone who's giving people advice. Meal the whole time is to financially benefit himself. So that's Lifnei Iver, if not worse. But again, to take that's a spectacular case. In a more simple case, he gives somebody advice to do a business deal, but really you know it's not necessarily in their best interest. Whether it has to dafki be in your best interest, I don't know. Maybe you're a masochist, maybe you have other... It's not, the question is not that it's going to benefit you. The point is you're giving him intentionally bad advice. That is the Rashi based on Maimar Chazal. That's what Rashi quotes here. If one looks, however, at a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, on Tav Vav Amud Aleph through Vav Amud Beis, we have perhaps very more well-known even discussion, which expands Lifnei Iver now to what we might call a third level. The Gemara here talks about Al Yoshit Yayin LeNazir, the Aver Menachai LeBen Noach. A Nazir is not allowed to have wine, you're not supposed to, and he asks you, pass me a cup of wine. The Gemara says you're not allowed to give him the cup of wine. What about a non-Jew even? He says, I want a piece of meat over there. It's Avram and Achai. A non-Jew is prohibited from Avram and Achai. One of the shepherds of Bnei Noach. Also, a Torah prohibition to give him the Avram and Achai. I, the Gemara, asks, how could it be usher to give him something he could just get it himself? Right? He's just on the other end of the table. So the Gemara there says something which perhaps we'll get back to, that there's a distinction between what's known as Chad and Trei Ivra Denara. The metaphor being used in the Gemara is one or two sides of the river. If he and the food are on the same side of the river, meaning he could easily get it himself, he's just lazier, it's quicker for you, so then it sounds like from the Gemara there is no prohibition of Lifnei Iver, but if he's on one side of the river and you're on the other side with the food and a boat, so he calls over to you, bring me over that wine, and he's you're the only way he can get it, so the Gemara says that is a Torah prohibition of Lifnei Iver. Now we've gone from the Pashtus in the Pasuk, do not put a stumbling block before the blind, all the way now to something which would seem to be completely removed, from the Pasuk. So it's left to the Mefarshim, the Rambam, most notably, who explains where do we derive all of this from the Pasuk. So he says, once we saw, as Rashi quoted, that there could be a figurative summa, he's blinded, he doesn't know anything about real estate or something else, and therefore you can take advantage of him and give him bad advice. So too, the Rambam talks about someone who's blinded by his taivos, blinded by lust, blinded by his addiction to alcohol, blinded by his, you know, like Esav, he was so hungry, he was, so to speak, morally compromised by his lusts or his passions, and he's that vulnerable that he's not allowing his better senses and better judgment to take over. So if the reality is such that he still couldn't do anything because he doesn't have the food, even though he wants to violate, but there's no way he can do it himself, so then that would have been okay. And then you come in, and you're the only reason, you enable, it's the key word here, you enable him to over the Severa, that is the Rambam describes it as the Nevera. This is the Rambam saying for a mitzvos, lo sase resh tzadites. The Rambam starts by quoting the Chazal that Rashi quoted, that it's an issue of bad advice, and then Rambam adds this idea based on the Gemara of Avodah Zarah of someone who's blinded by lust. The Sefer HaChinuch, the Smag, all mentioned this. It's worth noting, Rabbi Frand has a Sefer called Olei Yisachar. It's on Moy Cotton, and I believe also on Maseches Erchin. I believe he wrote this to get quote his PhD in Talmudic studies from Ner Yisrael many, many years ago. It's a very fine sefer. So in there, he has a Simen Yud on an essay on Lifnei Iver, and he has a nice Ha'ara where he just points out, again, you can go there if you want, I think we even have it in the Shul Beis Medrash, that the Smag actually changes the order on all the other Rishonim. All the other Rishonim first list the issue of bad advice, and then say someone who's even blinded by lust, someone who wants to do an Avera. Whereas the Smag first lists the Avera, and only then does he mention the generic issue of bad advice, and perhaps there is some significance to that change in order, yes.
The denotation of Summa and bad advice, does that mean the person has to not know? In other words, if I go to someone and I say, sell me your house for $100,000, knowing full well,
That your interests are compromised, right? You have your own self-interest. You're not pretending to give him advice. You just want to do something for yourself.
Right.
Correct, then there's no avera, 100%. Okay. A guy's allowed to make all the wrong mistakes he wants.
Okay.
And then he'll come to us to help him.
I'm not
No. You're allowed to be, so to speak, in competition with him. This is not that. This is you selling yourself or presenting yourself as someone who's doing something altruistically.
So full disclosure, the concept of...
Again, then you're allowed to be in business with somebody or in competition with someone in the same area of business. That's a different issue.
Okay.
Right, there are many areas, this comes up often, there are certain, in Gnevas Das, there are certain types of businesses, the Pasukim say, where I have watches. I have hundreds of watches. The fact that I'm trying to sell them doesn't mean that I think there's anything wrong with the watch. I just want to sell them to make a profit. And there are higher standards of disclosure a defect or other things than there would be in other types of businesses where the whole nature is speculative. Namely, I'm selling because I think that it's going to go down. You'd be buying by definition because you think it's going to go up. So the whole nature is somewhat adversarial by definition. So then, of course, you have different assumptions and perhaps even knowledge about the property. The fact that you're willing to sell should give that person an indication that you must think that. If he still thinks for whatever reason it's going to go up, it's a good investment, that's his business. This has nothing to do with it. This is somebody comes to you and says, here, I hear you're in the real estate business. I don't know what to do with my house. What do you think I should do? So you could say, I don't know either. Or you could say, oh, yeah, I think it's a great idea. You're probably right. I heard that. And again, so if you mean the best for him and it doesn't work out, you might lose a friend, but it could be uncomfortable. But otherwise, you didn't do an avera. If you're really doing something intentionally, giving him bad advice, so when he trusted you, you abuse his trust, is the best way of saying it, and that is that Isser of Lifnei Iver. It is worth knowing, just as an aside, that both the Minchas Chinuch and Rav Yerucham Fischel Perlau in his comments on the Sefer Mitzvah of Rav Sajigon point out something which is almost so obvious that we don't notice it. None of the Rishonim and none of the Moni Mitzvahs, when they count this Isser, actually include the literal translation of the text. No one includes in their Isser that you're not allowed to actually put, you know, you see the blind person walking down the street and you put a box there so that he trips and falls and embarrasses himself and you get to laugh, you know, like some high school kid or something. No one mentions it. Does that mean it's not Usser? I mean, of course, it's got to be.
It's assumed under both.
It's all right, so it's interesting. So they actually suggest that perhaps, again, the Pashtus is, they didn't mention it because it's obvious or it's included. They actually suggest perhaps, like, no one's going to say such a thing as mutter, but they suggest that perhaps the implication is, it's again, it would really be, you know, I mean, you don't have so many examples of this where the Torah Sheval Peh goes so far as to not only add two layers, but, so to speak, subtract the original layer. But they suggest that perhaps this Isser, even if it's Daraisa, but perhaps it's included in some other Isser. Perhaps the actual Isser of putting a stumbling block before the blind is not putting the stumbling block before the blind. Again, no, none of the Rishonim quoted in the Rani Mitzvahs on this, interestingly enough. Nevertheless, there are others, the Sefer HaChasidim and Rabbi Chanan and the Kovit Shurim quotes from a Yad Ramah. They do say, no, really, really, it's supposed to be there. And the Mesher Chachma on this pasuk has a discussion about this. So there is a discussion. It's just fascinating even to conceive of the possibility, which again, the Pashas is, of course, is included, but even the possibility is really something very tantalizing.
Would it be part of it made Varsha Petirchak in this week's Parsha of the Yisrael?
I don't know what it should be. L'chora, you should have no problem finding endless number of terrible things that the person did. Right? But, again, I don't have the top of my head to give you a specific example, but lots of things. You probably could, win the Avera lottery with such a despicable action. So I mentioned before that the Gemara of Avodah Zarah makes a distinction between the one and the two sides of the river. So let me ask you a question. Let's say it's really one side, meaning we're both sitting at the table. Right, to take a more lighthearted example, right? Somebody who's trying to watch their weight. And if we would have cholent here, and you know that the person's probably not supposed to have, and his wife made him promise he's not going to have any cholent, and the cholent's near you, and he says, can you pass the cholent? So he could just easily get it himself, but he asked you to pass it. Right, that was the Gemara's example, as opposed to if, you know, he's somewhere else, right? He's at a different shear, and he says, you know what? I'm coming by. There aren't going to be any cholent left. Can you save me some? So if you don't do it, he's not going to get it at all. So the latter case is when the Gemara had said, that's the prohibition. So what about in the former case? Is there really no prohibition at all? It's mutter? It sounds like that from the Gemara. The Gemara says, what could be usher about somebody who could just get something himself? That's how the Gemara leaves it. Nevertheless, a number of Rishonim, like the Rosh and Tosfos, right in the beginning, actually, Daf Yomi people should be holding this, on Daf Gimel in Maseches Shabbos, there's a discussion there, has to do with the famous first Mishnah, with the usher and the ani, putting something in the house, out of the house, on Shabbos, not on Shabbos, so what if you put something in and the guy takes it from you, are you overlooking the Iver or not? There's a discussion there in the Rishonim, there in Maseches Shabbos, and the Rosh and Tosfos, among others, there point out that even though the Isser D'Araisa is only applicable if it's what they call, quote, two sides of the river, you enable him, he couldn't have done it on his own, nevertheless, if he could have just easily done it on his own, but he was lazy, and you helped him anyway, so that's still an Isser, but it's only an Isser Mida Rabbanan called Misayeya Lidvar Avera. You're helping someone do an Avera. You're not supposed to help him. You should not be involved. On the contrary, you're supposed to be trying to talk him out of it. You're certainly not supposed to be helping him. There is a discussion that I saw in some contemporary authors. For example, some of you from New York are familiar with the Rabbanim in Queens. There's a very famous Hasidic Rav there named Rabbi Olbaum, who was a prolific author. His firm called Minchas Chein. He actually is a big Daf Yomi person. He has a lot of Sfarim of Ha'aras on Daf Yomi, and he also has some Lomdash Sfarim, also all under the title of Minchas Chein. So in Chelik Beis there, he has a very beautiful essay where he discusses whether the Isser of Misayeya, is that just a Durabonon expansion of Lifnei Iver? Like we have many times, there are certain parameters which are stricter for a Daraisa, and the Durabonon will come and say, even if you haven't met the bar for violating him in a Torah, nevertheless, you're still going to be over it in certain other broader circumstances, Mida Rabbanan. Or perhaps, no, as the Gemara seems to imply, Lifnei Iver is limited. It's all or nothing. Either you enabled him or you didn't. And if you didn't, you're not over. There's this thing called Misayeya. Perhaps it's a separate halacha entirely, not as an expansion of Lifnei Iver, but rather a generated chiyuv of the general concept of Arvus. Now, why should it make a difference which one? Ayin Shum in his essay in the big discussion that he has. But it's not clear exactly what is the relationship between Misayeya and Lifnei Iver on a conceptual level. On a practical level, we can say that it appears from these Rishonim, bottom line, you're going to be over something. If it's two sides of the river, you're over the Araisa Lifnei Iver. If it's one side of the river, you're over Mira Rabbanan on Misayeya.
I don't know if I'm taking your example that you just gave with the Chalant literally.
Perhaps you shouldn't.
Maybe I shouldn't, but it seems that there's one issue where what you are doing will cause the person to do an Avera immediately, as opposed to something that you're doing will result in some sort of...
A time lag.
No.
Oh.
Will result in some sort of physical harm to the person.
Well, that's why you shouldn't take my example literally.
But I'm saying that would still seem to be that, with the Iver.
Huh?
If you...
Yeah.
If somebody's died, you know...
Where's the Isser, though? Again, that's why I was only joking, so to speak. Lifnei Iver has to involve an Isser. At least that's what we're holding now. Yeah, that's
it. Can't just be something that's going to be harmful to him.
Well, perhaps
giving the person bad advice would.
Oh, okay. So hold off on that. For now, the answer to your question is no, with a caveat to just be patient for a few more moments. It's interesting. I have, if you see on the Marmakoma sheet, four different Marmakomas from the Rambam. These are the four different times in Mishneh Torah where the Rambam paskins the halachos of Lifnei Iver. In at least one of them, he actually elaborates on the parameters. What is noticed by a number of achronim, most notably the Minchas Chinuch and Mitzvah Samaches, is that the Rambam there never mentions the distinction between one and two sides of the river. In other words, the pashtus in all of those Rambams is that you are over midaraisa even on one side of the river. Again, just an example, he could easily have gotten the wine and you gave it to him. Could that be? Could it really be? The Minchas Chinuch says that it appears that the Rambam really rejected the doesn't hold to that distinction. The Gemara did seem to conclude the discussion making that distinction. So here, a number of different Sifrei Tshuvos, the Malamed Lahoyel, David C. Hoffman, as well as somewhat more recently, the Tshuvos Lev Avram, Avram Weinfeld Zatzal, who was one of the original Lochatzim, if we could call them settlers in Muncie, before it became an Irvei Embi Yisrael, great Rav. He has a son who is well known, Rosh Hashiva, the yeshiva named after his father's farm, Lev Avram, otherwise known as Lev Abe. So that was the son of this Baal Tshuvas Lev Avram. So Rav Weinfeld and Rav David C. Hoffman both point out, they both say the same kind of a technical kvetch, so to speak, for the Rambam, that it's possible, again, it's not pashut, but it's possible to read the Gemara, and they suggest, this is how the Rambam meant it, that was just what you call a dichui ba'alma. The Gemara just mentioned the svara of distinguishing between one and two sides of the river just as a way of answering up the question, so to speak. But it didn't necessarily mean, as one would logically have assumed it meant, because there's no question that there's a more simple way of reading the Gemara, but they claim it didn't necessarily mean to be carried to its logical conclusion that la halacha we make that distinction. The Rambam understood that this was just a svara got mentioned in the Shakla Vatariya of the Gemara, but wasn't necessarily meant Lamaisa. Be that as it may, it's a very difficult reading of the Rambam of the Gemara. Nevertheless, in Mishneh Torah, he doesn't seem to make the distinction. However, the Rambam in Perish HaMishnayis in Maseches Trumos, could have done this with the Daf, Mishnah on the Daf. They're up to pay, I think, where they are too. Okay, Trumos. Okay, when you get to Trumos, so you'll see in Paragraph Mishneh Gimel, the Rambam discusses this. And there, the Rambam has a line where he says, when he defines this from the Iver, he says, "In who Haya Siba La'avor Ha'avera." He is the cause of the person committing the Avera. And there are a number of Achronim who note that the way the Rambam seems to define that seems to be implicitly accepting the distinction between one and two sides of the river. Because as we said, the essential upshot of that distinction is when he could easily have gotten the Avera himself. You just did it for him. You wouldn't call that I'm causing it, because he easily has done it himself. Whereas if it's on two sides of the river and you're the only way, what I called an enabler, and in this case, facilitator, in this case, what he calls a Siba, perhaps that's there. Furthermore, the Rambam there also has a line where he says, again, it's a little bit difficult how to read that Rambam, but he does conclude by saying that in some cases anyway, there's another pasuk. What does he quote here? Al tashas yadcha. You're not supposed to get involved in bad things. And Rav Nosson Gestetner is a well-known Rav in the Posek, in Knepper Posek in Bnei Brak. So in his Tshuvas of Lahoras Nosson, he suggests that the reason that the Rambam in all those four places in Mishneh Torah never makes a distinction is because according to the Rambam, anyway, it's a chiddush of the Rambam, but anyway, you're over an Isser Daraisa. It's not Lifnei Iver, it's this other Isser of Al Tashas Yadcha. So since there's no distinction, the Rambam didn't make any distinction. Because either way, one side or two side, the Rambam will say you're over on Isser Daraisa. But if you accept even this reading of the Rambam, then again, that would be the Rambam rejecting what the Rosh and Tosus had said, that on one side of the river there's only a rabbinic prohibition of Misayeya.
Is
a
that
final...
Is it possible that Misayeya, I guess we're going into the Rambam, so maybe it's going the other way.
Yeah.
That is the Makar for Misayeya. In other words, we're talking about the Misayeya being a Drabbanan.
Yeah. No one says Misayeya is the Raisa, at least not that I know of.
Right. But according
unless
to
the Rambam, that's what the Rambam means.
Maybe that's what
the Rambam means. Okay, could be. Misayeya is its own. Again, there could be a separate share. Misayeya is its own issue. Again, I alluded to this essay from Rav Obam. If it's assuming that it's Arvus, do you say Misayeya for non-Jews also or only for Jews? Is it related to Arvus? There's a famous Shach and some Kufnan and Yoredeya. It's a whole interesting discussion in its own right. There's a third approach to the Rambam. I want to just close off this little loop with this, which would still assume that the Rambam agrees, despite what we started with the other Rishonim. This is the Tshuvos of the Divrei Malkiel. So he points out that in all the cases in the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, it's not just that I take a cup of wine and I give it in front of the Nazir. He tries to be medayik that in all the cases that the Rambam is describing, it's as if I fed the Nazir the bad thing. I literally, what I did is, I did a maisa b'yadayim. It's not just that I played a facilitating stage. I was directly involved. How do I think in secular and criminal law and in this country, there are such distinctions. You're not just a co-conspirator if you're literally hands on the gun. You're an actual, you're more than that. Right? You actually did something. So that's, the Divrei Malkiel says that in all those cases, the Rambam was talking about somebody who literally put, so he says as follows, true, we would distinguish between one side or two sides of the river, but that's only if we're both on the same side of the table. So he says, pass the cholent. So I pass it, and then he still has to eat it himself. But if I say, oh, you finally gave in, right? Right, we won't tell your wife, you eat the cholent, and I take a big spoon of cholent, and I run over, and I put it in his mouth, even though he could have, again, just gotten off and gotten it himself, nevertheless, if I do a maisa b'yadayim, then the Rambam assumes that it's an isadar raisa. Because that breaks all the rules. Because then you really are enabling him. I mean, he didn't have to do anything. You did it for him. So if you assume that diuk, that ukimta in these Rambams, then you would, again, what you would gain by that, again, I'm not sure it's a good reading of the Rambam or not, but the advantage of this third approach was you then put the Rambam in line with all of the other Rishonim, which is what we really do assume l'halacha. So all things being equal, we would prefer to have the Rambam on this side of the ledger if it's at least tenable intellectually. That the Rambam also agrees that there's this distinction between the flavor on the one hand, min ha-Torah, and Misayeah, on the other hand, Mida Rabbanon. Yeah. Now, I alluded...
About the second answer.
Yeah.
The second answer was that if it's on one side of the river...
There's this other Isser called Al-Tashas Yadcha.
So does Al-Tashas Yadcha then also apply if it's on two sides of the river?
No, because that's not either.
So wouldn't it apply Mikavachomer, because you're... Is lifting
good question.
Is just the second Isser piled on top?
It's a good question. I'm not sure. Okay. I'm not sure. That's a good question. I mentioned before, and we already had it from the opening of the Gemara, an interesting phenomenon, which we need to explore a little bit more now, of Lifnei Iver, is that even though you might assume it as more of a Yoredeya-type halacha, an Isser halacha, it does seem to be one of the few that, at least prima facie, applies equally to Jews and non-Jews. Right? The classic Gemara says, one of the prime examples is, right, Al Yoshet Ever Menachai, Leben Noach. Yet, despite that fact, it's therefore very surprising that if you read the Rambam in his Sefer Mitzvahs very clearly, his opening line is Hizir mehichshol ktiteinu es ktiteinu, etc., etc. We're not supposed, you know, from the Chevra, we shouldn't be machshil someone else, so to speak, from the Chevra. Or the Sefer Chinuch, who essentially borrows his lashon, says Shlola hachshil bnei Yisrael lo seis lahem etzara. Give bad advice. Oh, good, good. So what's striking, at least right away when you first read this, is that they seem to be going out of their way to limit the prohibition to amongst Jews, as the Minchas Chinuch then says. But how could that be? I mean, it's the Gemara. The Gemara says it's even applying to a Jew and a non-Jew. It seems almost obvious that the Gemara is going out of its way to give us two examples: one with the Jew, the Nazir, and one with the non-Jew, to tell us that it implies in such a case. So how could that be? So the Minchas Chinuch is Machaven Teshraga, and the Minchas Chinuch suggests perhaps there is a distinction. We just got through saying that there's at least two layers to this Avera. Whether there's a third is an open question, but there's definitely two layers. One is bad advice, and one is tripping someone up in an Avera. Says the Minchas Chinuch, what were the examples in the Gemara where it applied explicitly to a non-Jew? Tripping him up in an Avera. But giving him bad advice, again, perhaps there's some Isidur Abonon that you're violating. Again, I would not call this noble behavior. But to give someone disingenuous advice, that is only an Isidur Daraisa Lifnei Iver, says Minchas Chinuch. It would appear that the Rambam and the Chinuch are telling us to another Jew, Milahashal Yisrael Be'etzara. But to give disingenuous advice to a non-Jew, perhaps, again, maybe there's other Iveros, even Daraisa, certainly Mida Rabbanon, it's a Chil Hashem, it's lots of things. But it might not be the Isser Daraisa of Lifn Iver. But then the Minchas Chinuch himself concludes and he says, but why should one say such a thing? Why make such a distinction? And he leaves that question as an open one. So we are left, therefore, to perhaps use the answer of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in the Kovet Shiurim and Maseches Psachim, essentially as he's explaining this principle, the Minchas Chinuch, again, it's really from the Chinuch and the Rambam, more authoritative even, he says what's really going on here, and what's just beneath the surface, and it's just waiting for Rabbi Chanan to tease out for us, is that what is it? What we're saying when we say there's two layers to Lifnei Iver is more than that. I think this is what makes it such a fascinating mitzvah to study, hopefully to observe also, but it's fascinating to study, because it's not just there's two layers. Says Rabbi Chanan, what you see really being driven at is that the completely different components, that the mitzvah of hachshala, that you're not supposed to help someone, aid someone, do an aveira, enable them, that is a mitzvah, ben adam lamakom. I'm not allowed to be party and more contributory to someone else's aveira. If the iser is on me, so then as long as that person is doing an aveira and I help them, I was over. It doesn't matter if the person is a fellow Jew or a non-Jew. The non-Jews also have halachos. And I'm not supposed to be involved in someone enabling someone else to do an aveira. And if that's an aveira by mitzvahs, shev mitzvahs b'nei noach, or the tariag mitzvahs for a Jew, either way, therefore I am in violation of lifnei iver of this perspective of enabling averos.
The key thing is the active, right?
That's not the key for this point. That's the key in the background. We already mentioned that that's the idea of one versus two sides of the river. You have to be enabling it.
We're saying in terms of there's a distinction between the Ein Yehudi and the Yehudi in terms of if you're passive.
I'm not making any distinction such as that. I'm making a distinction between, are you tripping him up in an Aveira, one of the Shemites of Bnei Noach, or something else that the non-Jews even prohibit in, or are you giving him bad advice? Says Rabbi Chanan, the Usher of bad advice is a mitzvah ben Adam l'chaveiro. And we have many, many, many examples. In fact, it's came out overwhelming majority, if not exclusively, that the mitzvah ben Adam l'chaveiro are meant to apply between Jews. So there's no difference between this ben Adam l'chaveiro and the Isser of Ribbis, or Hashavus Aveda, or other examples, which are limited to Am Yisecha, to Achicha B'mitzvahs, whatever the different drushos.
By here, it doesn't say Achicha.
Correct. It doesn't say it. But, which is why maybe other Rishonim disagree. But it's clear, he says, that the Rambam and the Chinuch understood that this is a ben mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro. Again, there may be other halachos which would prohibit such behavior. I'm not certainly endorsing such behavior. But the prohibition of lifnei iver, even again, this is so interesting. It's not just a twin-headed monster. It's a schizophrenic monster. One is a mitzvah ben adam l'makom, and one is a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro. And perhaps that would explain the distinction that is suggested here.
Now being macho somebody in a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Lashon hara. Rucham Tzachayim always talks about.
Right.
So what's Rabbi Chanan do with that? So that's a mitzvah ben adam l'makayim.
Yeah. Exactly. Think it out. That's exactly the answer. En chanam. Yes. I have an Isra ben Adam l'makom to trip someone up in his ben Adam l'chaveiro. Why not? That makes sense. I don't have a problem with that. Now here, put your thinking caps on. It's getting a little bit confusing now. Comes along of Chaim Ozer and his Tshuvos, or Achiezer, and he quotes from the Tshuvos Pnei Hoshua. Not just a biographical note. The Tshuvos Pnei Hoshua is not the same author as the Pnei Hoshua who was a commentary on the Gemara. If I'm not mistaken, I believe it's his grandfather. Same family, same bloodlines, good bloodlines. But not the same person. It's earlier. He's earlier than the Pnei Yeshua on the Gemara, the more well-known. The Achiezer quotes the Chuvos Pnei Yeshua, who says as follows. We're still holding in our bad advice issue. And the question which we're, so to speak, now getting into is, how distinct or disjunct are these two layers? The bad advice and the Isra. Are they really two different things just coincidentally under the same rubric of Lifnei Iver? Or perhaps can they overlap a little bit? And here is where, very famously, the Pnei Yehoshua says the following. Let's say I am machshel someone in the Isser Drabanan. Right? Drabanan, you're not supposed to eat X. You're not supposed to eat milk and meat within 6 hours, right? Or 3 hours, or 1 hour, or whatever your minute is, okay? That's not tonight's year. And you then, in a, whatever we'll define it as a two sides of the river example, and you trip the guy up. Were you over lifnei iver mita rice or mita rabbanon? Again, he was only over mita rabbanon. You're not allowed to have milk and meat within six, you know. So that general question we'll get to at the end of the shiur. But for now, we just want to share one opinion on that question. This Pnei Yoshua, what does he say? He says you're over even mida araisa. You're over worse than the guy you tripped up. But the issue is not the Pesach now. I want to just focus on the Svara. What does he say? Because there'll be other people who discuss and argue, and we'll hold that for a little bit later in the shiur. What is the Pnei Yoshua Svara? He says, because it has to be daraisa. It's no better. If I gave him bad advice when to sell his stock or when to sell his house, I'm over mida araisa. So if I trip him up in Vasar B'chalav mida rabbanon or some other Isser mida rabbanon, true als the hachshala v'isser, you probably can't imagine reaching. Again, we'll see that other people could imagine. But the Pnei Yeshua says, no, then I wouldn't go so far as to say I was only over mida araisa. How can I be worse than the guy who was only over mida rabbanon himself? But I was over as a bad advice. Isser daraisa. Now that's a little bit complicated, but I hope you're holding cup, because now we want to go one layer more complicated. So Reb Chaim Ozer quotes this. Then Reb Chaim Ozer, and we know how big of a super genius he was, we have Mamash testimony, he used to write shuvas, two shuvas at the same time with his two hands. I mean, that's not just a feat of physical ambidextry, the intellectual is just staggering. Reb Soloveitchik said he saw this. Anyway, whatever. Unbelievable. So Reb Chaim Ozer says, he puts on a classic sharp guy. He says, well, if that's the case, then it's only going to be true that we'll get you, even though we're in the Aveira arena, but we'll get you for giving bad advice, if the person did that Aveira, b'shogeg. He ate his milk and meat without realizing the halachos. I knew better, but he didn't necessarily know better. He was b'shogeg. Why? Because it has to be dumya to eat sarah. This is the question you asked before. If this guy knows that you're giving him bad real estate advice, that's, so to speak, a bemazed in business. He wants to be an idiot, so that's his prerogative too. But if he's beshogeg, he's accidental. He doesn't know anything about real estate. That's why he trusted you. That's where the isser of bad advice comes in. So says Reb Chaim Ozer, if we want to attach the isser of bad advice to the kweis of Basar B'chalav or something like that, it has to be dumya to eitzara. Namely, it has to be beshogeg.
By definition.
Right.
He's in the dark, literally. I mean, that's...
Okay, so you could say that. As opposed to if he's bemazed, he wants ether basar b'chalav mida rabbanon, then whatever you'll say, you won't be able to apply this knech of the Pnei Yoshua that it's because of the bad advice.
He's not saying this generally.
He's saying if you want to attach the isser of bad advice to a...
Lugabi.
Halachos, not just business or whatever.
Get worse,
it's only, yes,
make,
yes.
That's all he's saying.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because otherwise, of course, it's even if the guy's amazing.
Correct.
Right?
Now, well, it's a sugya, which I did not include, even plan on discussing tonight. Maybe right. Next year for Kedosha we'll discuss it.
Okay.
There is a discussion about what if the guy's meter of Shogeg, but I'm amazed. Can I be worse than the guy who violates? That is, but I don't want to discuss that tonight. So leave aside for a moment that there's other, for the sake of time, I'm going to leave out an interesting thing from Rosh and Mechas Chinuch and Chaim Shmulevitz and his Shurim on Gittin I have here. You'll see the Shai Chaim on Gittin from further elaborations. Leave that aside. I'm going to have to skip it for the purpose of time. Let's move now, so to speak, for the last 7-8 minutes now to what is conceptually the Ikra part of this year, and I want to transition into it from this idea. Namely, an essay which is very well known, at least in the name of, but I have here, you want the original marker, of the Ponovitcher Rav, Rav Kahaneman Zatzal. Ponovitcher Rav has an essay in a journal called Kovitz Ol Mordechai. This is in Tavshin Lamed Tes, 5739, not that long ago, where he asks the question, until now we assume that even though they're both under the rubric of Lifnei Iver, but one's been on Lamakum, one's been on Lachavero, they're totally separate. Then came along this Rav Chaim Ozer in the name of the Pnei Yoshua, and says, wait, you can even be over bad advice in the realm of Isser. If that's the case, says the Ponovitcher Rav, who needs the second layer? Why not just have one Isser called giving bad advice? And the Isser will apply, whether it's in halacha, whether it's in business, whether it's in real estate. Call it bad advice. Who needs the new layer, the additional layer of Hachshala Be'isser, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah? Just stay with the Sifra, which Rashi quotes on Chumash. So again, I don't want to get hung up. It's a good question. It's not a good question. I'm using, as he does, using the question to get to the yisod. He says the following yisod. He says, because there's a really, you do need it, because there's a tremendous chiddush. Because he says, if I give a guy bad advice, so on my ledger in Shemayim, what box am I checking? So that's a general isser called lifnei iver. You're not going to have, you don't have subcategories for real estate, for dentistry, for regular mental health. Who knows? It's a general isser called lifnei iver. I gave him bad advice. But if I help him, I give him the chulent, I give him whatever, I give him the yayin lenazir, I give him an actual avera, so then he says, what box is checked? Under mine, it's checked isser yayin lenazir. Isser basar b'chalov, isser treif. It's what we call in halacha the difference between an isser klali, a general prohibition, that's lifnei iver, doesn't matter, fill in the blank, but it's always lifnei iver if it's bad advice, or what's known as an isser prati. It's schizophrenic. Every specific case will have a different definition. It's a prat va'oso avera. It's a subcategory of the Nazir's own transgression. Now, it's true that the Panovich Rav assumes this, that that's how this halacha works, and that's how he distinguishes it between bad advice. But the truth is, it's not so simple, and many, many other achronim have this discussion in general. Is it really true? How do you understand the Isra of Lifnei Iver? I give you basar b'chalav, I give you a lobster, whatever the case may be, I give you a bad shofar that you're not yotze, even though I knew. Okay, but it's not such a great example on my part, because it's itself a debate. Whether you say Lifnei Iver on a bitul mitzvah sasei, not tonight though, but any other, let's assume we're going to stay ourselves with low saseis. Any example you can imagine. So the Panovich Rav assumes that it's an Isra prati. Right, it's a prat post avera. But the truth is really an open question. There are other achronim who say no. Whatever they'll answer for the difference between this and bad advice, that's not such a good question. Don't give me a hakmei chanek from that. The basic question is it an isser klali? Is there one isser kalif ne'iver? Whether it's basar b'chalov, whether it's treif, whether it's who knows what, ribis, whatever the issue is, or is it change? So lamai nafkamina. So we're running late on time, but let me give you a few nafkaminas of many, which I could have brought. Many, many very enjoyable and interesting discussions that revolve around this question. So one, let's get back to something we already saw. Leave aside the whole issue of bad advice. Let's say we can apply that. Perhaps bad advice is limited to mili ba'alma, it's business, it doesn't relate to religious or ritual arenas. Let's assume that's not going to be a factor. Is it possible that I could be worse than the guy I trip up? If the guy is only over in Issa Darabonin, could I possibly over Issa Daraisa? So we just came off of a Yontef of Pesach. So on Pesach, we had 4 days of Chalamoid. There's a prohibition of Malacha under certain circumstances on Chalamoid. That prohibition is a major debate. Is that prohibition Daraisa or Darabonin, Malacha on Chalamoid? I mean, you look through an Achronim, they give you lists of 20 Rishonim on one side, 20 Rishonim on the other. Major, major, major debate. Baal Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, usually assume that it is only Mirabonin. It's from Malacha and Chalamai Durabanan. So, nevertheless, there is a Tosus in Avodah Zarah D'Achav Beis, talks about a case of Lifnei Iver of Malacha and Chalamoed, and nevertheless, he assumes you're over Midaraisa. So he, the guy who did the Malacha, is only over Midarabanan. But I, who enabled his in Malacha, I'm over Lifnei Iver Midaraisa. On the other hand, there's a Tosus in Chagiga who says no. In the same case of Chalamoed working, he's only over Midarabanan, so I'm over on Lifnei Iver Midarabanan, because the Isser is only Midarabanan. So there's discussions back and forth. Again, because I'm running out of time, I have to leave out a lot of the details. Again, discussions with the Shlomo Zalman Orbach and the Nesivis. Again, I'm going to have to leave all that out, but you can see it on your Mamakama sheet. The bottom line, though, is if you want to streamline it, how could this relate? This could relate directly to our question. If you assume that it's an Isser Prati, what I did is a Prat, is a detail in his Avera. So then, logically, it would seem impossible that what I could do could ever be worse than what he did. What I did, I become a shutaf in his avera. I can't be worse than him. But if you see it as an independent isser, then it's not necessarily going to follow, but at least it's plausible, it's possible, that if I have an independent isser called lifnei iver, then it perhaps may always stay at a daraisa, assuming that the criteria are met, it's two sides of the river, and it might not matter what I fill in the blank, meaning it might not matter which isser is filled into the blank, and it might not even matter if it's filled in the blank as his only Isser Darabonon. Because I'm Midaraisa, you could define it as, am I allowed to trip up anyone on any level? That could be my Torah prohibition. Again, I'm running, I don't want to take a question just because I want to just give you the taste of a few more nafkaminas. So I'll give you two more very quickly. Big machlokas Rishonim between the Baal Amor and the Melchamos, the Masechah Sanhedrin, the Ramban. Is there a din of Yehareg Va'al Ya'avor on Lifnei Iver of one of the Gimel Averos. If I somehow enable someone to violate Avodah Zarah, so I definitely was over an Isser, that's called Lifnei Iver. But was I Yehareg Va'al Ya'avor not to violate that Isser or not? Right? Who, imagine, right? We've now raised the stakes. It's not just cholentin, your cholesterol now. Right? Is it Yehareg Va'al Ya'avor to violate Lifnei Iver? So the Baal HaMor seems to say yes. And the Melchamos, the Ramban is screaming, how could it be? It's only Lifnei Iver. So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman and Rav Soloveitchik, Rabbi Ganek and his Sefer quotes, they heard this from Rav Soloveitchik, and Rabbi Chanan Wasserman has this in the back of the Kovei Tzaharos, both say the same Lomdus, that it's connected to this question. If you see Lifnei Iver is an Isser Prati, it's a detail in that person's Avera, so the Baal HaMor says, if he's doing something that's Avodah Zarah, Lifnei Iver on Avodah Zarah is a Shmek, it's a little bit of Avodah Zarah. Perhaps it's even Yehareg Va'al Ya'avor. Whereas the Ramban, when he's screaming, if you look in the Ramban, there's also in the Ritva of Avodah Zarah, has the same Shita, it's Meduik, I think, in the Ritva of Avodah Zarah, they're screaming, how could you say that Lifnei Iver is Yehareg Va'al Ya'avor? If we go up in the books, what Isser was I over? I wasn't over Avodah Zarah, I was over Lifnei Iver. Only Avodah Zarah is Yehareg Va'al Ya'avor, not Lifnei Iver. The Baal HaMor is, again, the Ramban makes a lot of sense. What's the answer for the Baal HaMor? It must be, because if you go up in the books, you go up in Shemayim, what box do we check for my Avera? Avodah Zarah. I didn't worship anything. I don't know where the Indian Sheikh Lach are. But I was over Lifnei Iver. And Lifnei Iver, apparently, according to the Baal HaMor, is, as we've seen from others, an Isser Prati. Last case. Again, there are really many, many others, but for the sake of time, last case. Sugya in Maseches Yevamos, Stav Yud. There's a discussion about the halacha of Ein Shliach Ledvar Avera. Okay? If you do an Avera, even though it's B'Shlicha somebody else, you can't get off and say, listen, hey, don't look at me. I'm just following the orders. There's no way. You are over yourself because there's no such thing as Shlichus. That's the general rule, very famous. The Gemara there discusses, well, when is that really so? And perhaps the Gemara says that's only true if I, meaning the Shliach, am also a Bar Chayuva. I'm also obligated in it. But if I'm not a Bar Chayuva, then perhaps that's not true. Maybe we would say Shliach Ledvar Avera, meaning that the Isser will go all the way back to whoever sent me in his, you know, ivory tower. He thought he was safe over there sending me out to do the Avera. Really not. So what's an example? The Gemara there discusses, what about a Kohen who says, listen, no rabbi is going to marry the Kohen and the divorcee. So he designates the Yisrael to be a Shliach for him. You stand in for me, you go, and the rabbi will say, you're a kosher guy, he's not going to try to find out back in Omaha who you're a Shliach for, he won't know that I'm a Kohen, and you will be my Shliach, you'll marry the divorcee, the Gerusha, for me. That's the Gemara. The Gemara there says, in such a case, the Yisrael is not a Bar Chayuva. Seems pretty obvious, but Tosfos asks, why isn't the Yisrael a Bar Chayuva? The Yisrael, in such a case, would be over on Lifnei Iver. So the answer, says the Tosfos, no. Because Lifnei Bar Chayuva for this only means if I were, me the Yisrael, the Shliach, if I were to Mekadesh this Gerusha, would I have done anything wrong? The answer is no. I am over Lifnei Iver. What does Lifnei Iver have to do with being a Bar Chayuva on the prohibition of marrying a divorcee? Tosfos is very logical. But the Shita Mekubetzes quotes the Ritva, who asks the same question, and then he gives a number of technical answers why, in that case, the Yisrael Shliach really was not over Lifnei Iver. Really, the Kohen could have gotten married on his own, or some other reason why technically he's not Lifnei Iver. But the strong implications of the Ritva are that if the Yisrael would in fact be over Lifnei Iver, then that would make him a Bar Chayuva for the rules of Ein Shliach Ledvar Avera. How could he be a Bar Chayuva? He's only over on Lifnei Iver. That's an opinion of Tosfos Bamitzia. But Ritva doesn't say that. So Rav Gustman in his Shiurim on Bamitzia said this is also, again, directly relevant to our question. Tosfos in Bamitzia obviously assumes that Lifnei Iver is what we call an Isser Kloli. You get in the box just called Lifnei Iver. So you're not a Bar Chayuva. You've got nothing to do with the Isser of Grusha. Hey, I'm a Yisrael. I got enough prohibitions. I don't need to worry about the Kohen's prohibitions. But the Ritva, who has a tremendous Chiddush, that because of Lifnei Iver, I could be considered a Bar Chayuva in an Isser, which I myself cannot conceivably be prohibited in. But Lifnei Iver, that will get me there. Says Rav Gusman, apparently, the Ritva assumed, like we saw from the Baal HaMor and that we saw earlier, that it's an Isser Prati, that when I do Lifnei Iver, that's as if I'm a Chalik in his Avera. So I'm a Yisrael, okay. But for this, I'm considered somehow, just like I'm not a Nazir, but I give wine to the Nazir, according to one conception, according to what the Pontifical Rav said. For that one moment in my life, I was a Nazir, and I couldn't even make it for one moment. I violated the Isra of Yayin LeNazir. For that one moment, I was a Nazir. So to hear, even though I'm really Israel, but so to speak, for that moment in time, it's as if I'm a Kohen, and I was violating the Isra of marrying a Grusha. I just want to close this year so people who want to leave can leave. I don't want to hold anybody because we're already past the time, but I'm happy to stay if anyone has any questions. A wonderful one of our Shabbos. Try not to be over left neighbor.